And working on vacation, I guess that's what we'd call it here this morning. But a good morning to you. We have 13 past 9 o'clock and a special this, that, and the other program this morning. Our guest is Fred Van Manen, and he's here to talk about a program that's designed to really help individuals deal with numerous issues. We all have life issues. It seems like every one of us have one or two that are really the biggest in our lives. Anger, grief, addiction, hang-ups, and habits, appropriately called Let Go is the program. And Fred, we welcome you this morning. And what is a little bit about your background in terms of how this program came about? You heard about it through, I guess, the AA program. Is that right?
Well, I was in alcohol treatment, and I saw a friend of mine in there gave me a Celebrate Recovery Bible. And I liked what it said. And we, you know, out of the Bible, I read how to heal myself and how to ask God for help rather than rely on human beings, even though we do need human beings. But God is the ultimate power that I needed to get me through it.
And you're thoroughly convinced of that. And the AA program is a good program. A lot of people go through it, and it helps a lot. In some regards, you felt you needed a little bit more. You needed the spiritual aspect to it, right?
Yes, Mark.
Okay. Tell us about, and I know sometimes it's always a tough thing. None of us really want to admit that we have problems and many things at times. You have, as far as I've known, you have been very open about it. So maybe, I guess, give our listeners a little bit of background of what has happened in your life there, Fred.
Well, I started drinking at a really young age. And, you know, at first it was a party and it was fun. Then it just became where it was a party. Then it became no fun and ended up in a ton of legal issues and, you know, loss of two families and people who just won't talk to me anymore because they knew Fred is the bad guy. So, yeah. And I'm finally out of that, and that's really nice.
When we call alcohol an addiction, I haven't been addicted to it, but I sometimes wonder, I say, okay, because, you know, when I was young, I went through the same thing. We, you know, we went out, we partied, we had drinks, and it was fun. But after a while, I guess, can you relate to the audience how what comes up in any given moment says, if I don't have some alcohol, life's no good? I assume that's kind of how it is.
Well, it started out where it was just a party, and I was kind of socially awkward. So
it helped.
It helped relieve the tension of being around people. Then it became where I had to have it in order to be around people. Then all of a sudden, people didn't want to be around me because I had it.
Okay.
It took control.
Yeah. And that's, like you say, that's, you have to have that. It's you know, the priority of your mind, really, and that sort of thing. You also on, I guess, a non-spiritual aspect of this situation, you got into, you had a fourth DUI, driving under the influence, and finally, I guess, that got to the point where it really started having a huge impact on your life, right?
Yes. Well, when they say rock bottom, I fell on the bottom, and the rock fell on top of me.
And, okay, rock bottom and a load on you.
Yep.
Yeah, okay.
And, you know, it turned out to be the best thing that could have happened to me because it really jarred my thinking. And I was had 7 months where I had to go 24/7 twice a day to do breathalyzers. Then I was lucky enough to get sentenced to drug court rather than have to go away to a watch program and stuff. And Brooke Rogers and Judge Olson, their whole team, just really tried to individualize each person's, because not every person's addiction or problem is the same, so they really try to personalize it to each person.
So the drug court in Toole County is relatively new. I think it's been only going maybe for just a couple of years, but when they sentence you to that, that means that, I guess, every on a weekly basis, you have to meet with whoever the teacher is, for lack of a better word.
Yeah, we meet with them once a week, and then we have to do random UAs, and it's that additional accountability that a person needs when they're going through this. And unfortunately, you know, I'm just really thank God that I didn't kill anybody when I got in the wreck, because, you know, I got behind that wheel, and I should not have driven. And I wasn't hurt seriously.
Yeah.
So it was a good stepping, you know, where I have somebody else who I got to account for, and if I mess up, guess what? You go to jail.
Yeah, so you know that. Did that, was that a trigger for you that said, hey, something's got to change here? Or?
Well, I've been trying forever to quit drinking. I mean, yeah. I've been seeing Tanya Carpenter for going on 2 years now, and seen alcohol counselors, been to treatment 4 times, just nothing really stuck until this time.
Let's bring up Tanya. She runs a business, basically a counseling business called the Eastern Front Counseling Service, right?
Yes.
And you say she's been a big help.
Yes, yeah, she started out at the hospital, and then she just recently opened her own office. And just having that extra person to talk to and run things past really helps when you're having a time of need.
With the fourth DUI too, just, and I don't want to dwell on all of that, but the idea that you got into a car wreck, and like you say, thank the Lord you didn't, somebody else didn't get hurt by it. But that was, and that's what, you know, they, I guess the courts, they start looking at and they say, okay, that's enough, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. It sort of,
well, it becomes a felony. So
it becomes a felony on the fourth one.
Yes.
Yeah. And there's, and I know people have marveled at the idea that we get stories out there that there's people that convicted of their 19th and 20th DUI, and we say, my goodness, why has not something taken place? But in this case, it did. So now, with this program, again, you mentioned right off the bat, you said that someone who was in the AA program with you showed you basically a biblical version of the treatment, and the program is called Let Go, and that's what we want to focus on. The program has been running for 3 weeks at the Living Faith Baptist Church. You initially approached Pastor Paul Lackey, the pastor of Living Faith, and said, hey, maybe we could run this program through the church, right?
Yes.
Okay.
About a year ago, but the timing was never right. But it came up, and it was right this time. So.
Right this time. And Pastor Paul latched on to that. Now, in the first 3 weeks, I think the number of community members that are attending that is increased pretty good, hasn't it?
It's increased. Right off the bat, we had more people than we expected. Me and Paul were thinking, well, maybe the first few weeks it might be you and I.
A couple,
and
yeah.
I'm like, well, that's good wherever two are gathered, you know.
Right.
But it's really turned out to be really nice, and you get additional feedback from people going through other stuff. So,
and a spiritual aspect to us, what can you tell us about that?
Well,
is everything biblically based?
Yes, everything comes straight out of Scripture, out of the Bible.
Really?
There was one Bible verse, if you don't mind me sharing it.
No, I would love to hear you share it.
It really hit me, and it's, you know, AA's got one day at a time. This is the biblical version of one day at a time. It's Matthew 6:34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough troubles of its own. And when I read that, it finally, you know, sometimes you read something, it doesn't click. Then also one day it just hits you with a power. And it relieved such stress from my mind. I was always worried about tomorrow.
What's going to happen?
Yeah.
And so that's part of the program, I assume, to focus on that.
Yeah.
And, it is a powerful verse. I know in my own life that I say to myself, when I start getting concerned and worried and stressed about tomorrow and Friday and what I have to do next week, and it doesn't work because it drives you nuts. You can't solve the problems all at once. And like you say right there, today has enough worries of its own. Let's focus on that. That takes that long-term thing away. You say, hey, what am I going to do here? If you can make it through today, things are good, right?
Yeah.
Is that where it came from?
You know, we can make the best laid plans, but they always fall through.
Right, yeah. There Christians kind of know about the Lord using his Holy Spirit. Jesus said after he was going to be crucified, he said that, you know, I will bring you the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. Do you feel like that's something in your life that guides you?
Well, it definitely does. It's really helped me and my entire family just kind of cope with the situation, because it wasn't just my disease. My kids and my wife have been through a living hell. And
Because of what you were doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it just caused a lot of stuff. Now, you know, after 14 months, everybody's happy. Everybody's smiling. And there's hope.
Yeah. Well, so. Exactly. There's hope there. And your family comes to our church and, you know, every single week. I mean, you've been very dedicated to that. And so, and on the sobriety, I mean, this kind of transpired, you know, before going through this program, but you have been sober for how long, Fred?
14 months.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
That's a, you know, a huge achievement when you talk about the alcoholism, the things that you had there, isn't it?
Yes,
yeah.
It is.
Yeah. Yeah. And you give credit to?
To God.
To God. Yeah. Okay. The program more so let go, and they talk about, of course, we focus here because of that on the alcohol, but the recovery principles found in Jesus' teachings and gives you hope for change would begin to experience true peace and serenity you have been seeking, and you will no longer have to rely on your, I chuckled when I first read this part, your dysfunctional, compulsive, and addictive behaviors as a temporary fix for your pain, which is kind of describes us all, really, you know.
Here
we are in lives, you know, I mean, yeah, we appear, maybe we have it all together, but we don't. And so can you focus on more of not just the alcoholism, but the other things that you've discussed already in the Let Go program that might be of benefit to people?
Well, you know, it's really nice because the group gets together, and Pastor Paul's really, as you know, really good at leading a Bible study.
Yeah.
And we get into the scripture, and we get into the word, and it really helps you understand that for pretty much every one of life's problems, there's a way out of it in the Bible. And
it really is a teaching element, isn't it?
Yes, it
when
is.
When you look at it.
Yes.
Yeah, all of the things, you know, and even with alcohol, too. You know, we get focused on, oh, boy, should I drink? Shouldn't I drink? And what did the Lord say about it? He said, well, you know, don't be a drunkard because it leads to debauchery. You know, and people will twist that around, oh, you know, one drink, you know, is going to, you know, you shouldn't do it. And maybe individuals shouldn't, you know, but.
Well, there are some people that can have one drink.
Right.
And then there's some people that should never have touched the first drink. And I'm in, should never touch the first drink category.
Well, and sometimes how do we know? Huh? Yeah. How do we know unless we're told, unless we're taught, unless we think about those kinds of things. So, but it focuses on. I mean, say for example, your last class, just last Tuesday night. What was the focus of it?
We were on the powerless element, and each, you know, one come each letter starts off with, I can't even remember right now, but it's an acronym for a scripture.
Okay.
And that's one of the first things we got to admit is our powerlessness.
Okay.
Over our addictions and our habits and hang-ups.
That we aren't the ones that can drive us out of there. We need some help somewhere, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
And that includes God. That includes the people who support you. And
yeah. Yeah. Well, and the Lord, I mean, the Bible always talks about, you know, the need for, the need for fellowship and the need for support, you know, and encouragement and those sorts of things, too. That's always a big part of it that we forget about maybe, huh?
Well, when I moved to Shelby, I searched for church. I tried a few. Pastor Paul and I met in a really weird way, and we started building a friendship.
Can you tell us that story?
Well, my dog at 12 years was dying, and we had brought him to the vet. And I didn't really know anybody, and I burnt a lot of bridges over the years because of my drinking. So I just grabbed a phone book and started looking up churches because I figured there'd be a pastor who would help me.
Mm-hmm.
And Pastor Paul was the first one to answer the phone. I said, well, you don't know me from Adam, but I need a really big favor. He said, well, what do you need? I said, well, my dog's in the vet clinic. He's dying. And I don't want him to die there. I want him to die at home with me.
Yeah.
And Pastor Paul was, well, I'll be there in 5 minutes. I think it was three.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, he came immediately.
Yeah.
Didn't hesitate.
He drove me out to the clinic, and he helped me get him in the car. And I was pretty shaky, not just from the nerves, but I was... The alcohol was hitting me pretty hard. And I told him then, you know, I said, I struggle with alcoholism. He said, well, you're trying to quit? I said, well, trying and failing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He said, well, as long as you're trying. And him and I have developed a friendship. And between him and the church, which has welcomed me and accepted me for who I am,
mm-hmm.
and I have a safe place to go where people ain't judging me. And,
right.
you know, you don't get at that a lot. And, you know, me and Pastor Paul, I'd consider my friend now, my teacher, my mentor, and that's really helped this whole process a lot easier.
I think that's a key, too, and specifically with people, because I don't know how many times I've heard the comment before. You say, well, why don't you come to church with us? And somebody will say, oh, my goodness, you know, the things that I have done, I'll, you know, the floor will cave in. Well, it's not that way. You know,
no, it's not.
People accept you, they know, and people that are already there in most churches I know of will say, you know, we're here because, you know, we are far from perfect as well. So,
and
yeah.
And that's one of the big things I was hoping with this program would be that we'd be able to let people know that they're loved no matter what.
Yeah.
And you're not going to come to a judgmental attitude. You're going to come to learn, and you're going to be accepted as family, whether it's the group or the church. You're not going to be judged. And that, you know, the stigmata of alcoholism and addiction and hurts and hang-ups is so bad, you know, you kind of hang your head low. But if you have a place where you can be yourself and know you're not going to be judged, it makes all the difference.
Amen. And so the other thing, too, that we wanted to bring up was that you have had several people. You mentioned one, Tanya Carpenter, mm-hmm. is your counselor, Pastor Paul, obviously, and there was, the people in the drug courts there, too. It seemed to me like you had some other people that have really made a difference for you.
Well, I call her Ma. She's my adopted mom from, not really by blood, but by Christian blood, that I met in Job Corps.
Mm-hmm.
And she's been there for going on 30 years now, I guess. And, you know, she always prayed for me, and she never gave up on me. It took that kind of prayer and that kind of hope to give me hope. And boy, is she happy when I call her now. She's like, I can understand you. Your tongue ain't heavy. You ain't slurring your words. And that's a really good comforting feeling.
That's a bit of joy, too. And here's a lady. How long did you know her?
I guess it'd be 28 years.
Really? So from the very beginning.
Yep.
Yeah. How old are you, Fred?
I'm 46.
You're 46. So, yeah, this thing started, well, probably when you were just out of high school in high school.
Well, the alcohol started around when I was 13 or 14.
Really? Far? Okay. So it's been a huge part of your life.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The majority of it. So, and now 14 months sober. So the program, just in detail, you know, just a couple of the basics, too. It's open to the public. You say that would have been 8 to 10 people most recently?
Yeah.
Okay. And anybody is welcome.
Anybody and everybody.
You don't have to be a member of this church. You don't have to have a specific belief. It's open to anyone. Open to the public, meets at the Living Faith Baptist Church. That's the fairly new church still, along Oilfield Avenue. Just this side of Lake Shalhoub. So the big green building looks like an army barracks.
It does.
You know, I shouldn't say. But anyway, on Tuesday nights and 7 to 8 and pretty much an hour is what it lasts, right?
And if you guys want to get in contact and have any questions, you guys are welcome to call Pastor Paul. His number is 450-0185. And if you'd like to speak to me, you know, we can meet with Pastor or whatnot. So
okay, Fred, I appreciate you coming in, letting us know about the program, sharing your own story. That takes a little guts sometimes, and we do appreciate it.
All right, well, thank you for having me.
Been a pleasure. Fred Van Manen, again, Let Go, the program at Living Faith Baptist Church that we want to let you know about, open to the public at Living Faith Baptist Church Tuesday nights from 7 to 8, and that concludes this, that, and the other.
You have to be up in 5 hours, 2 hours, 6 minutes, and you haven't slept a wink. ZzzQuil Pure Z's is a drug-free blend of botanicals with an optimal dose of melatonin, so you can fall asleep naturally and wake with no next-day grogginess. So tonight, try new ZzzQuil Pure Z's from the sleep experts at Vicks ZzzQuil.
When is a pencil more than a pencil?